decided to go into it. I still didn't know until my first day if I could be in a room with a deceased person. I really didn't know. But it got normal real fast, and I'm glad I did it.
Hello, and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores the Idaho businesses, stores, and clubs that you always pass by but never seem to visit. I'm Joel Wayne, and this is my co-host, Lacey L.D. Daly.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you think we should make that into like a jingle, or should I be like sing-songy echoing it every time you open the clubs, the shops? I don't know.
It's a background track that I sing into. Maybe.
Okay, we'll look into it. What are we doing today? Where are we going?
Today we've got a little field trip. It's in Boise. It's down Overland and Curtis or thereabouts. The Cremation Society of Idaho.
Okay. I shouldn't be surprised because we have a list of all of these, like possible places. And so I've seen it on the list.
Yeah.
And I've made the connection when I've driven by it, but I still have no idea what it is. I mean, I'm assuming it's a place that I guess people don't go to get cremated, but you take people to get cremated or pets to get cremated?
You know, so that's one of the questions. That's absolutely one of my questions is I don't know if they, that's one of my questions. I don't know if they cremate people on site there. When I say people, I mean bodies on site. I know. And we did reach out before, I reached out beforehand on this one because this didn't feel like one of those places that we could have just popped into. To be honest. So, but it is one of those places that I drive by all the time. And I've always been curious about it. So I popped into there one time and got the contact info for their manager and talked back and forth with him. And he was great about it. His name is Michael. And yeah, we have some time set up to go and ask questions. And then I think we're going to get a little tour. Yeah.
Okay. First of all, this has nothing to do with Cremation Society, but I feel like if we keep letting you nominate places that you always pass by, people are going to, by process of elimination, like kind of figure out where you live. They'll create like this box around like the side streets of your house. Like, okay, so we always see this place, and you'll have everybody knocking on your door.
Do you think our listeners are that? Are paying that much attention?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. All right.
okay, but more specifically this week in the Cremation Society, yes. I'm curious about the society part.
Okay.
And I suppose I just don't know much. I mean, I know about cremation, and I feel like I want to be cremated, just take up less space, but I've never had to look into it. I mean, I've lost family members, but have never been charged with taking care of those details.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an incinerator?
Yes. I don't think they call it an incinerator, though.
That's just for garbage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know before I go in. What about your central concern, then?
Number one, why is it called a society? Why is it a society of? Because I've looked these up, and there are cremation societies of most states or even cities. They call them cremation societies of Akron, Cremation Society of Alabama. I don't know. So that's one. That's an odd mm-hmm. name to me. And then number two, what really differentiates it from a funeral home or a funeral director, you know?
Hmm. Do you think people will think we're getting a little dark in season two? Is this a little too heavy? We're going to have to find a way to make it light.
Yeah.
I mean, we are curious. It's all fueled by curiosity. But I also think that the business of death is kind of interesting. Everybody is curious about it because it is the inevitable.
Right.
And that sounds a little deep, but I mean, I know that you kind of have a special place for it. Didn't you go tour a morgue? Like you sought out a morgue tour?
Yeah, my wife and I did. It was a tour of the county morgue in Boise, the Ada County morgue, and Ada County coroner and morgue. Anyway, and then we toured that, and then we went and had dinner. It was kind of a date night.
Yeah, see, that's why I wasn't shocked to hear this come up today that you wanted to go to a cremation society.
Yeah, I'm certainly interested in it. My wife and I both like Caitlin Doughty. She has some books about it. She's a younger mortician who kind of pulls back the veil on all these things that you really don't know much about. And she talks about that, about how that's kind of the business of death, is that they pull kind of a curtain in front of it. And it's like, you don't need to worry about it. You don't need to mm-hmm. worry about it. But her whole take on it is, maybe we should be more involved. We should know. And these are our loved ones. And maybe we should be a part of that process. So anyway.
I'm intrigued.
Should we go check it out?
Okay. Okay, let's go. Just pulled up?
Yeah.
Pulled back, actually, huh?
It's
It's kind of set back off of Overland.
It is. It's a couple businesses back off of the road. It's a little business park. There's like an event center. I think it's a trophy engraving place near the road. So, yeah, it's just a stone building. And online, I don't know if this is the case either, but online it says that it's open 24 hours. I can't imagine that's the case, but
that just doesn't seem necessary.
Yeah.
But what do I know?
Yeah.
Nothing. Okay, well, let's go. We're late.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's do it.
We pop inside and poke around a meeting room while we wait for Michael to finish with the phone call. There are some urns on display against the wall made from a variety of materials, copper, wood, glass, and there's even one that looks like a little gas tank from a motorcycle. Then we meet Michael.
Hi.
Hi.
You Michael?
Yeah, I am.
I'm Joel.
Sorry, I was on the phone.
Oh, no worries at all. Thanks for meeting with us. Yeah.
So I'm at your service.
You're at our service. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, I guess first of all, how long have you been here in this location,
This location's been here since 1996.
Okay.
I've been at this location just about a year and a half.
Okay.
But I worked for a company. We're owned by a company that owns some 200 funeral homes across the country.
Okay.
We're not affiliated with any other cremation society. There are some national cremation societies.
Okay. Can you tell me, so I have confusion then about what is the difference between a cremation society then and a funeral home or funeral directors?
Well, the name is a little confusing to people. We are a funeral home. We're a licensed funeral home.
Okay.
We only do cremation.
I gotcha.
But at the same time, we have some families who want to do like a funeral with the body present and everything, and then have that followed by cremation. But we're a little different concept than, you know, all the other funeral homes in the area, where we don't have a big, you know, we're simple. That's what allows us to keep our costs down and don't have a lot of overhead. So we mainly appeal to the folks that are looking for just something simple, don't necessarily want to have a service. Sometimes they do, or sometimes they do that part on their own.
So do people know that when they reach out to you, or is that kind of the branding, the way that you brand yourself,
well,
or the way that you talk to them?
Some people do understand that we're a licensed funeral home, but a lot of families come in here and they say, "We're so glad we didn't have to meet with a funeral director." And I am a funeral director.
Oh.
It's just I'm a little dressed down from, you know, your three-piece suit and all that,
right. But
that's part of just because it helps people relax. When they come here, they don't expect to walk into that kind of atmosphere. So
it's kind of this whole business side of it is something that is almost purposely, you know, you pull the curtain over and people don't ever really have to venture into until they have to.
Right.
Nobody ever really comes here when they have a day off or, you know, they're just kind of even making plans.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's the reason why it kind of stuck out on our list and why we're like, we should probably go there.
Well, and you'd never know. I had a guy live just around the corner from here for the last 25 years. He just walked in one day and he goes, "What is it you guys do?" He didn't know we did cremations here. He said, "I didn't know what cremation society meant. I didn't know if it was just an organization." But our crematory is right here. But yeah, we're kind of tucked in, so if you're not looking for it.
Michael talks with us about the close-knit community of funeral homes and funeral directors before taking us on a tour of the facility.
This room we're in now is where we typically sit down with a family and go over their arrangements.
Right.
This is what we call our selection room, and it's where people choose. There's a couple things that have to be chosen. One is the container that the body's cremated in. And then if they purchase an urn from us, we have everything that we have showing here, as well as special order things. When the death occurs, we get the phone call from hospice or a hospital, you know, who's ever involved, and we go out 24 hours a day, so.
Uh-huh. So is that the 24-hour thing, Joel?
Yeah. Well, I was curious about that. You have it, or it's listed on Google as 24-hour, or that you're open for 24 hours a day.
Yeah, and what that really means is we're available at any time. Larry, my other director, and I, one of us is on call every night of the year.
Huh.
And so
what do you have to do when you get a phone call at 11:30 p.m.? Like, what is somebody calling to tell you, and what do you then have to do?
It's typically going to be, it's a hospital or nursing home or a hospice worker. We've had a death. The family's going to be working with you, and and we go. And
you
we
go
bring
where?
Them into our care, wherever you the go, death is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's something a lot of people don't understand, too. And it's that way with all funeral homes. Nobody transports the loved one to us. We go out and we have the equipment to do that. Mm-hmm. So
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I guess I never really thought intentionally about it.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
Why
right.
would you?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Which is kind of weird. And it's like, is that a societal thing? You know, like if we just kind of were uncomfortable dealing with it, or it's like too morbid for us to think about.
That's why I have a job, I think. I mean, it's
yeah, true.
You know, there was a time people took care of their own when a death happened, and we're not there anymore, at least for right now. And it's one of those things where people always go, well, somebody's got to do it.
I gotcha.
This is the part of the facility where our crematory is, and I won't open that door because it's very noisy, but this is the crematory here.
Oh.
And that door there, where that chamber is, when a family comes in to witness the cremation, they're typically standing here at this window. Mm-hmm. But we do allow them, if they want, to come right in, and the body's loaded into the crematory, and then that door is shut. Mm-hmm. So even though they're in the room, they're just with the equipment. And
is it ever important for people to, does anybody push the button, I guess, you know?
Yeah, if they want to do that, we definitely let them do that. Be involved to the extent that they want to be.
Sure.
And a lot of times they'll kind of sit back in this room for a while, and a cremation takes, you know, a few hours to complete. So
really?
They're typically not here for the whole thing, but if they want to be here, you know, as long as they're comfortable.
But what about it is so time consuming?
Well, it's the whole total process of cremation on a typical adult, should say, is about 3 hours. And then there's a cool down process before we can handle the cremated remains and be able to process that part of it. So we can't do a lot in one day. I mean, typically three cremations in a day.
Interesting. And you refer to them as remains?
Yeah.
Like, I would say ashes,
we call them cremated remains.
Okay.
People, you know, when we're talking to families and they say, well, when can we pick up the ashes? Or we call them ashes at that point. Mm-hmm. But in the industry, their kind of technical term for it is cremated remains.
Gotcha.
Seems like some of that, that's obviously changed so much over the years, you know, in the same way that we don't say coffin anymore. We say casket, right?
And I call anything that holds cremated remains, I call that an urn. Mm-hmm. If it's a shoebox that somebody brings in and says, can we put, you know, I always refer to that as an urn.
Oh, okay.
That vessel that holds the cremated remains.
How often do people do that? Bring their own or make their own sometimes?
Quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got somebody who's got a talent for woodworking, or we've had people bring in ammo boxes, you know, something that was personal to the person they lost. Mm-hmm. Had a family bring in a coffee can, and they said, is this okay? And I said, well, sure, you know. And they go, well, this is what our grandma picked huckleberries in. Well, that's perfect. That was her huckleberry can.
I like that.
My grandfather, he collected and worked on clocks, and that's what we did. We took, like, an old clock and finished it up, and that's what they put his ashes in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a lot more personal than, you know, something that is imported from... made in mass quantities. So
what does it cost to get somebody cremated?
If it's a simple cremation without any services or viewing, then here it's $850 plus the merchandise that you select. There are all, you know, kinds of little incidental things that go along with that aren't necessarily our charges, but obituaries and, you know, all those things that we kind of let families know. Mm-hmm. Everything, death certificates, the state has a charge for those. So people typically, when they come and work with us, they're just looking at around $1,000.
Again, something I would probably never think of until I had to.
Mm-hmm. And that varies from market to market widely.
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, different states, and depending on how many funeral homes there are. And you'll find that same service there are funeral homes in the area that charge $2,500 for that same thing. But it's because they have pretty huge overhead. You know, we've got a small facility. We can't, there are certain things we can't do. If somebody needs a big chapel where they can have a big event, this is a different entrance here. But this is our little, there's nobody in that.
Yeah.
Just to explain here, we enter a mid-sized room with rows of chairs and a wall of windows at the back. And there's a casket at the front, which Michael is quick to assure us is not currently occupied.
We just have a small facility here.
Yeah, because I didn't even realize that you had space then, too, for memorials or for funerals.
And what this is some people call this a rental casket. I don't like that term, but what these are designed for is there's a separate insert that goes in here, much like the containers that we have out in the showroom. That just rolls in here. It's got its own interior that's, you know, we Velcro it up. And you'd never know the difference between this and a traditional burial casket. At the end of the viewing or service, the end of this casket drops out and we roll the container out, and that's what serves as the cremation container that the body's cremated in. I call it a ceremonial casket. I don't like the term rental. I mean, we do charge for it, but cremation is over 60% in Idaho now.
Is that what the national trend is at?
You know, it's largely kind of a West Coast thing.
Oh.
Like California, Colorado, I think is 75% now. Washington and Oregon and California, they're all. And now the further east you go, typically it gets less and less popular. But as Idaho, which is a pretty traditional conservative state, I was surprised when it went over 50%. But it's just more and more people are going that way.
Yeah.
And still a lot of the families who have a tradition in casket burial, they want some of the tradition that goes along with that, even though they're choosing to cremate. So that's where these kind of things catch in.
You sound like you had something.
Yeah, I'm just curious for you personally, how did you get into this line of business? Was it something in your family or something that interested you? Or
I've been in it for about 18 years. I was 36 when I chose to change careers. I came into it pretty late. But I had a friend he was like, I'm going to go to mortuary school. I didn't even know what that meant. You know, I didn't know you had to go to school for that. And my first reaction is, why on earth would you do that? But the more I learned about what he was doing, I just kind of got to a point where I thought, I kind of wish I would have done that when I was younger. And I hit up a place in my life where my job, I got downsized out of my job I had, and my wife just said, well, you've been saying this, why don't you look into that? So, and that story is pretty similar to a lot of people I know. Now people are getting into it kind of later, whereas it's always been a thing where you grew up in a funeral home and that's what your dad did, and then you took it over. But
did you have any, you mentioned changing careers, did you have any medical background before going?
Not at all.
That's what I feel like it takes a certain kind of person, A, to deal with that stuff, and then B, like there's just such an emotional toll to the role that you play.
Odd thing is, when I decided to go into it, I still didn't know until my first day of my apprenticeship if I could be in a room with a deceased person. I really didn't know. So, but it got normal real fast, and I'm glad I did it, because that part of it's pretty minor part of what we do. I mean, most of my time is spent working with families, and that's the part I really enjoy.
See, and that's what I've always had, not always, but I think over the last 5 years I've had kind of an interest in it too, and I do volunteering for hospice, and it's just the social aspect of it, and I enjoy that piece of it, but that medical side is that one that would maybe give me pause to moving that direction, you know.
Well,
so,
and I've always said about healthcare people, I could never do what they do. I can deal with pretty much any kind of trauma a body's been through, because when I'm dealing with it, they're not hurting. But one of my kids gets injured, and I go to pieces. I'm just not I don't like blood and that kind, but that's with people who are hurting.
Sure.
And it's like the people who work with end of life and those kind of things. I don't know if I could go through that with a family and that person, but
We chat about changing careers in your 30s, and Joel seems more than a little interested in the possibility of becoming a funeral director before Michael leads us back through the crematory area.
Do you do pet cremations?
We don't.
You don't, okay.
We get called quite often about that. For one, in Idaho, you can't do it in the same crematory.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And there are folks who, you know, do a really good job with pet cremation, and that's kind of their specialty. That's one of those things, again, in different states, it's different.
Yeah.
Some states you can have them in the same place.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of people that, you know, they've lost a pet. They want to bring their pet in so that after the cremation we can help them place the cremated remains together.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But we don't do pet cremation at all.
Yeah. So you still do provide, but you can provide service in that
way.
Yeah,
we can help them any way we can. Yeah. So.
Well, cool.
We head back out to the main part of the office where most of the urns are on display, and Michael talks to us more about where they buy their merchandise.
These ones here, there's some of these that are made in Idaho. Most of what we get are from bigger manufacturers.
Yeah.
Just because there's, I mean, I'm always looking for local people who can make things. There's a gal right now who does just beautiful porcelain, and I tried to get her in here forever to just come see what, because I've seen her art, and I'm like, anything I can get that's unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like these, this is Boise Art Glass. It does these. These pieces are, when they roll the color in, they'll put a little bit of the cremated remains in. So that's the flecks that you see there. Something, you know, just a unique piece of art that you know, can hold a piece of someone who's dear to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that bare just for decoration? Is that an urn?
Actually, it is an urn.
Oh.
Just to paint a picture, Lacey points out a stuffed animal on the bottom shelf of a glass display case, which is, in fact, an urn.
Somebody local made this, and it just has a little pocket there that you would place a little vessel inside there.
Oh, okay.
Keep a little bit.
Gotcha.
We finish chatting with Michael and head back out to the car to debrief.
So, yeah.
Well, first of all, I feel like I could have chatted with that man, with Michael, for... ever.
Yeah, he has a very, appropriate aura about
him. Extremely calming.
Yeah, I think that's so essential. Almost like a counselor type, you know, like you could just...
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's exactly what he's like.
Yeah, and he has sympathetic eyes even.
He has like puppy dog eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I learned a lot.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny too, so not only was he a very, you know, comforting presence, but, and maybe it was just the effect of that, but the entire experience, like the place felt very calm then because of that, or the experience all felt very, very calm because of that.
Yeah.
You know, there was a little bit of music even on the background, and it wasn't like Enya,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
It wasn't Pure Moods.
Right.
It was just, it sounded like top 40s radio, you know? And
there's something nice about that.
Yeah, I thought it was nice. It was just kind of like a reception room of like a dentist's office or something.
Yeah.
Which, maybe that's not the best analogy because people don't like dentist's office.
Yeah.
Is there the reception of your pediatrician? I don't know what it was.
But I feel like those sometimes smell like Band-Aids or something.
That's true, too.
This place did not.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Yeah.
It was nice. A pleasant surprise.
Nice. So.
Okay, well, let's go back.
Okay.
Back in the studio.
After
the Cremation Society of Idaho.
You bet.
Do you want to start?
It was the type of place. Well, first of all, I'm really glad that we went. I'm really glad that we went. It was just very, and I will say too, I feel like a big, big part of that is Michael. He was just a very, very warm and welcoming person. And so I didn't necessarily anticipate us being there for as long as we were there. You know, we were there just shy of an hour.
Just shy of an hour.
And it really isn't that big of a place to explore and get a tour. But he was just so kind of generous with his time. And we both asked a lot of questions. And I will say sometimes when one of us is wearing the kit, one of us is wearing the audio kit, sometimes that person asks less questions when you were wearing it this time. And you asked just as much, if not more, than I did.
All right. I've got a few things I'd like to address. First of all, the elephant in the room, Michael is you in a decade or so. There were several points throughout that conversation where I felt like I was in a freaking movie or something, and I'm like watching you talk to this older version of yourself and ask advice. It was kind of weird, but kind of nice. I don't know if you felt similarly. I mean, your guys' demeanor, the way you dress, life decisions. Have you looked into funeral directory school yet? Mortuary school?
I left from there and that night you ended Googled, up looking
let me,
up yeah, articles.
Let me see your Google search history.
I did.
I knew it.
And is it weird, if he is me, is it weird that I wanted to, you know, take him out for a beer or coffee?
You're always courting people, man.
I just want to pick their brains, I guess. I was just interested, but...
And then to address the whole, me wearing the kit but asking a crap ton of questions, I think in hindsight, I was a lot more interested in or curious about this place, or maybe just cremation in general, than even I thought going into it. I could hear myself being like, there were audible moments of surprise. Yeah. And in the way that like I would gasp, or I would like shoot off a question right away. And as much as I find that annoying, and I hate that that's a part of myself and now this episode, I think that just shows that this was definitely a place that we needed to go to.
Yeah. I don't think it's annoying. I think it...
Oh, I was like, shut up. Let him talk. Whatever. It happened. I feel like I got a lot of insight from it. What about your central concern? I feel like it was like a two-parter this time.
Yeah, it kind of was. One was about really about the name, about society, why society. And as far as I could tell, it's just a name. It's affiliated. Yeah, it's just a name. It's not affiliated with the other kind of cremation societies.
And there's no rituals or anything that would make it.
And there's no rituals. So, and then the other one really was, what was the difference between this place and other funeral homes? And again, the answer there is not much. You know, Michael was very clear about that. He is a funeral director. They do many of the same services, although not burials. But it seems a lot less buttoned down, more casual, and maybe more affordable. I mean, he was really upfront about their prices, which I was kind of surprised about. What about you?
Well, I didn't have a central concern.
Okay, no. Final takeaway?
No, I guess I had all the concerns and I didn't even know about
you
it.
You had all the concerns.
No, but just as I could listen back and hear those moments of surprise or curiosity coming out of my body, I also was hearing moments of like filtering myself. And since I was there consciously, I knew what I was trying to ask, but I was trying to do it in a way that was like being polite and respectful and having some sort of etiquette, because I noticed like I would say dead bodies and Michael would say remains or deceased person. And so the more I would pick up on that, and I don't think he was doing it. I mean, obviously he's in this line of business and he's here talking to us about his business. So he's not going to be off the cuff in a way that would be disrespectful. And I wasn't looking for that. But I think at the end of the day, it just kind of reflects that larger narrative that we talked about at the beginning about the business of death and how as a society, we don't really talk about it. Mm-hmm. And my impulse to talk about it in such a kind of basic way made me feel, I don't know, inappropriate.
Well, but I don't think it's inappropriate. And you had mentioned later on that you wanted to ask other questions. You wanted to ask kind of deeper, you know, process questions or logistical questions.
I still want to know why it takes so long. I wanted him to talk about the bones.
Oh, why the cremation?
Yeah, but like I felt like he didn't want to go there and I get it. I knew it in the moment why he wouldn't go there. But yeah, when we were driving back, it was like what it really had done is just lit this fire inside of me, kind of pun intended, kind of gross pun intended, of like wanting to know more, because I had never thought intentionally about it other than like, yeah, maybe I'll be cremated because it's probably cheaper and you take up less space.
Yeah. That's a big concern. I don't know. Just taking up less space.
Yeah. What about your final takeaway?
My kind of final takeaway, and this is one that just occurred to me when we were driving away, was a kind of a larger thought about how this podcast has been a little bit of a key for us to open the gate to places like this. I mean, it's allowed us access to go into some of these places and to pull aside the curtain and actually see what's going on. And that's just something that this is one of those situations where I really appreciate that. And I was glad to see too that when we went, that I was not the only one, obviously, who was very, very interested in it. It was kind of refreshing to see, too. Even though I had nominated it and I obviously have an interest, it was nice to see that you, like, it was just causing all these gears to turn in your head.
sorry if I stole the spotlight.
No, maybe we both should become funeral directors.
No. I don't like people crying all the time.
Well, you can handle answering phones. No.
No.
You can handle...
There's obviously nothing I would be good at here because you're pausing for so long.
Well, I just don't know everything that goes into it. You can handle the flower arrangements.
I guess I'll keep my day job.
Okay.
You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio. Our music is James Dean Kindle and the Eastern Oregon Playboys. Our website is youknowtheplacepodcast.com. And thanks this week to Michael at the Cremation Society of Idaho for giving us a tour and pulling back that curtain for us, if you know what I mean.
Tenderums reach out to me from across